나자이다나브라마니다나야야데이다고다나시바사지고
The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on June 4th, 1985 at New Panihati Dham in Atlanta, Georgia.The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, chapter 14, verse 5 through 20.
Vande Chaitanya Krishnasya Balya Leelang Manoram Manoharam Lokikidam Api Tamisha.Cheshtoya Balitantaram. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the childhood pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Lord Krishna himself. Although such pastimes appear exactly like those of an ordinary child, they should be understood as various pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, the statement is confirmed as follows.Avajananti mangmudha manushing tanumasritam paramabhavamajananto mamabhudamaheswaram. Translation. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. Bhagavatam 9.11. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears on this planet.Or within this universe, like an ordinary human being or human child to execute his pastimes. Yet he maintains his superiority as the Supreme Lord. Lord Krishna appears as a human child, but his uncommon activities, even in his childhood, like the killing of the demon Putana or lifting of Govardhana Hill, were not the engagements of an ordinary child. Similarly, although the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, as they will be described in this chapter,appear like the activities of a small boy. They are uncommon pastimes impossible for an ordinary human child to execute.
Balo lilayage prabhur uttana swayan pita matar degai lochina charan.
In his first childhood pastimes, the Lord turned upside down while lying on his bed, and thus he showed the parents the marks of his lotus feet. The word uttana,is also used to mean lying down on the bed face upwards, or lying down flat on the bed. In some readings, the word uttana, which means standing up. In his childhood pastime, the Lord tried to catch the wall and stand up, but as an ordinary child falls down, so the Lord also fell down and again took up to lying on his bed. So, when the Lord appears,as a small child, or appears as a baby. So he plays the part perfectly, thus giving his devotees who are acting as mother and father the pleasure of being able to serve him in his baby form. So that the Supreme Lord hasThese marks on his lotus feet, conch shell, lotus, different marks. Vishnu has got certain marks, Krishna has certain marks, Lord Chaitanya has certain marks, which conditioned human beings do not have those type of specific marks on their lotus feet, on their feet, as the Lord has on his lotus feet.
Grihe dui jana deki lagupada chinna tahare sobhadvaja vajra shankha chakramina.
When the Lord tried to walk in his small footprints, the specific marks of Lord Vishnu were visible, namely the flake, thunderbolt, conch shell, disc, and fish.
Dekhiya dev dahara chite janmilo vishmoy
kar podochino gore na paya nischoy. Seeing all these marks, neither his father nor his mother could understand whose footprints they were. Thus struck with wonder, they could not understand how those marks could possibly be in their home. Mishakohe balagopalache shila shange teho morti hoya gore kele jane range. Jagannath Mishra said, certainly child Krishna is with the Shalagram Shila. Taking his childhood form, he is playing within the room. Purport. When the Shalagram Shila or the form of the Lord is engraved in wood, stone, or any other element, it is to be understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is there. Even logically, we can understand that all material elements are expansions of the energy of the Lord. Since the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not different from His personal body, the Lord is always present in His energy, and He manifests Himself on account of the ardent desire of a devotee. Since the Lord is supremely powerful, it is logical that He can manifest Himself in His energy. The deity worship or worship of the Shalagram Shila is not idol worship. The deity of the Lord in the house of a pure devotee can act exactly as he can in his original, transcendental personality. So, Sachi and Jagannath Mishra are very strict devotees. They would not eat anything without worshipping first their Narayan, Shaligram Shila. So they had their deities in the house. So they didn't know where these footprints were coming from. They thought the deity was playing around at times when they weren't looking. And therefore these footprints were coming visible. Somehow they could not see the footprints on Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet very clearly. But when he walked and the impression was left in the dust, those marks became visible. That means that these markings on the feet are actually transcendental. Se kaneya jagi mi maya koraye kandan ankelonaya sachitare piailo stan. While Mother Sachi and Jagannath Mishra were talking, the child Nimai woke up and began to cry. And Mother Sachi took him on her lap and allowed him to suck her breast. Sanapi aite putera charana dekilo se chinna pai deke misra bolailo. While Mother Sachi was feeding the child from her breast, she saw on his lotus feet all the marks were visible on the floor of the room, and she called for Jagannath Mishra. Dekiya misra hoilo anandita moti Gupte boilailo nilam bara chakrabarti. When Jagannath Mishra saw the wonderful marks on the sole of his son, he became very much joyful and privately called for Nilambar Chakrabarti. Chinna deke Chakrabarti bole na hasiya lagna gane purbe ami rakhiyachi likhiya. When Nilambar Chakrabarti saw those marks, he smilingly said, formerly I ascertained all this by astrological calculation and noted it in writing. Vatis lakkana mohapurusha bhushana e sisu ange deki se sava lakkana. There are 32 bodily marks that symptomize a great personality, and I see all those marks on the body of this child. Pancha dhirga, pancha shukha, sapta rakta, shoranutha. Trihaswa pritu gambhiro, dvatringsa lakshano mohan. There are 32 bodily symptoms of a great person. 5 of his bodily parts are large, 5 fine, 7 reddish, 6 raised, 3 small, 3 broad, and 3 grave. Purport. The five large parts are the nose, arms, chin, eyes, and knees. The five fine parts are the skin, fingertips, teeth, hair on the body, and hair on the head. The seven reddish parts are the eyes, soles, palms, palate, nails, and upper and lower lips. The six raised parts are the chest, shoulders, nails, nose, waist, and mouth. The three small parts are the neck, thighs, and male organ. The three broad parts are the waist, forehead, and chest. The three grave parts are the navel, voice, and existence. Altogether, these are the 32 symptoms of a great personality. This is a quotation from the Samudrika, text 16.
Narayanera chinna jukto shri hasta charan e shishu sarvaloke koribe taran.
This baby has all the symptoms of Lord Narayana on his palms and soles. He will be able to deliver all the three worlds.
Eto koribe vaishnav dharmera prochar iha hoite hoibe dui kulera nistar.
This child will preach the Vaishnav cult and deliver both his maternal and paternal families. Purport. Without Narayana himself or his bona fide representative, one cannot preach the cult of Vaishnavism or devotional service. When a Vaishnava is born, he delivers both his maternal and paternal families simultaneously. This is important that some people understand that when they become devotees, simply by being situated in pure devotional service, they deliver their mothers and their fathers' dynasties. Simultaneously. So the greatest opportunity for mother and father is to have a son or daughter who's a pure devotee of the Lord. Thus they can easily be delivered.
Mahutsava koro sabololaho abramana aje dinabhalo kuribo namakarana.
Translation. I propose to perform a name-giving ceremony. We should observe a festival and call for the Brahmanas because today is very auspicious. Purport. It is the Vedic principle to observe a festival in connection with Narayana and Brahmanas. Giving a child a particular name is among the purificatory processes, which are known as Dasa Vidha Samskara. And on the day of such a ceremony, one should observe a festival by worshipping Narayana and distributing prasad, chiefly among the Brahmanas.
When Nilambar Chakravarti, Sachi, Mata, and Jagannath Misra, recognizing the marks on the Lord's lotus feet, understood that the child Nimai was not an ordinary child, but an incarnation of Narayana, they decided on that very same day, which was very auspicious, they should observe a festival for his name-giving ceremony. In this connection, we can particularly see how an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is ascertained by his bodily symptoms, his activities, and the prediction of the Shastras. By factual evidence, a person can be accepted as an incarnation of God, not whimsically or by the votes of rascals and fools. There have been many imitation incarnations in Bengal since the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. But any impartial devotee or learned man can understand that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was accepted as an incarnation of Krishna not on the basis of popular votes, but on evidence from the Shastras and bona fide scholars. It was not ordinary men who accepted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the beginning, his identity was ascertained by learned scholars like Nilambar Chakravarti, and later all his activities were confirmed by the six Goswamis, especially Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Rupa Goswami,
and many other learned scholars. With evidence from the Shastra, the incarnation of God is such from the very beginning of his life. It is not that by performing meditation one can become an incarnation of God all of a sudden. Such false incarnations are meant for fools and rascals, not sane men. In India, it's very common that anyone who has a little shakti of any kind, immediately people start saying that person's an avatar. So in some places, there's an avatar in every village. Sometimes they have avatars of demigods, sometimes avatars of Vishnu. But this avatar business has become a real farce. That so many people are claiming to be avatars just for knowing some magical tricks or being able to do something. But the people in general become very confused. So avatar has become very cheap. Sometimes with the impersonalist philosophy, the men will say, my little child, he is my little Krishna. He's my little avatar. So in this way, people become very confused. And they don't know anymore what is a real avatar. Remember one time one lecturer from Vrindavan was giving a lecture on the Bhagavad Gita. And he said that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna predicts, Jada jada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata vyutthanam adharmasya tadatmakam sijamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chatuskritam dharma sangstapanarthaya sangbhavami juge juge. At every yuga, I come. So this lecture was saying that Krishna says he comes every yuga, yuge yuge. But now in Kali Yuga we have become more advanced. Therefore instead of having avatar every yuge, or every age, every millennium, we're having not only every millennium, not only every decade, every year, every month, every day, every hour, we're having every minute a new avatar. Every second. So he made this way a joke. He said, who is the avatar of the hour? So it's not like queen for a day, that everyone and anyone is an avatar. Avatar actually is understood by bodily symptoms, by activities, and by the scriptures. These three things are always to be ascertained. When some avatar makes a promise that I'll give you whatever you want, immediately people rush to worship that person. Even in the Orient, many of the Oriental people, the Chinese and other, they're worshipping certain so-called incarnations of Godhead because they heard that if you worship them, you'll get anything you want. Because they're very materialistic, some of those people who are worshipping these false incarnations, so they're rushing after this false promise of getting anything they want. Later on they become frustrated because they don't get satisfied. So like this, it's become a real business. In fact, in India there's a book published, Gurus, Holy Men and Avatars. When they say avatar, they mean all the so-called Bhagavans, Babas, and other so-called avatars. This is the problem in the modern day, is that people don't know. They get cheated. They think this is my faith, this is my religion. He's an avatar. This is not the Vedic culture. These are all aberrations. Because the Vedas are very vast. So normally people, they don't read the Vedas much. I was giving an interview in India, in Bhubaneswar, with the press. And one of the young pressmen, he was very challenging. Why are you coming to our country and teaching us? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? So they are giving this one trust man was very challenging, but I patiently answered his questions. So afterwards, he was taking prasad, and I went there because there was a movie showing for the other pressman. He had to go early. And I started to talk with him. So then he realized that he maybe thought I was very proud or something, but because I was just very personal with him, he started to open up. And he said, actually, although I'm born in this country, although I'm educated, he said, I have never read the Bhagavad Gita once in my life. So the point was that he was so challenging because he was feeling guilty. He hadn't ever touched the Bhagavad Gita practically. Never read it cover to cover. And here's someone from his material vision, he was saying, oh, here's someone come from a foreign land, settled here in India, and he's telling us what to do. Who does he think he is? We don't know. But actually didn't know. Because it's not something you're going to learn just because you're born in a place. It's a better facility to know about Krishna in India. But you have to take that opportunity. You have to accept a bona fide spiritual master, and you have to study the Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literature under their guidance. So these are vast literatures. At least you can get the essence from a spiritual master. But because people are not having bona fide spiritual masters, they don't also study. Without a spiritual master, even reading the books is very difficult. So as a result, they are cheated. They're taken advantage of by unscrupulous so-called yogis and babas and bhagavans and guru maharajis and so on, who are all claiming to be Krishna. Yet, they're all getting sick. They're all growing old. They're all showing the symptoms of material life. Yet they claim that they're a Bhagavan. When Krishna was present, we don't find him. He had to endure any kind of material aging process. Even when he was speaking the Bhagavad Gita at the age of 120, he still retained his youthful form, not even growing a mustache. So, I was one time preaching to visiting a so-called Shankaracharya. And when I asked the Shankaracharya some questions, he said that, well, he was actually Krishna. So I said, how can you say that you are Krishna? You are growing old. This is my lila. I said, well, if you're Krishna, then why are you worshipping Radha and Krishna? Because you had deities. Prabhupada once told us that these Mayavadis, they get so, it's so dry to just always think you're God and be talking in personal philosophy that to get little juice, they worship Radha and Krishna. The one time when Mayavadi personally revealed to him that actually I get my real happiness in life from worshipping Radha and Krishna. He said, then why don't you preach Vaishnavism? He said, because I've come in this line and now this is my business to be an impersonal guru. If I change now, all my followers may leave me. So I have to go on preaching the same. But personally, I love to worship Radha and Krishna. The people become so attached to pratishtha, puja, and puja, pratishtha, nishadachar kuti nati jiva hingsana labh puja pratishtha adi jato upasakagan labha profit, adoration and position. Material kind of position. These things are very strong for even the renounced order of life. After they give up everything, Then it says that just have to, like Prabhupada said, that actually when you take sannyas, renounce the order of life, half of your battle is finished. I mean, half of the battle in the material world is just trying to conquer sex desire and the gross material activities of sense gratification. That's half. Someone may think that's all. That's not all. It's just half. It's the big half. It's the first half. But then, taking sannyas is also a type of birth. Then one has to work at the other half. Desire for profit. Everything I do, I have to get something for. What's in it for me, materially? Will I get the just reward? If the slightest bit of material profit motive is existing in our devotional service, we will not get pure bhakti. So for a Vaishnava, taking sannyas simply means that they're endeavoring to maintain at least 50% of their maya off. And then from there they're supposed to come up to the level of Paramhamsa, which is a pure devotee. So any type of profit motive, doing my devotional service for some type of reward, whether gross, subtle, or even spiritual, like liberation, mystic powers, all those things have to be eradicated. Puja, the desire to want to be worshipped and respected. It's like there's a common saying, don't demand respect, command it. The person, if they actually feel incomplete without being worshipped, this subtle sex desire. Because what does the woman offer a man? It offers praise, support, some worship. So in that way, the desire for being adored or being worshipped or being respected, those are all subtle material contaminations. So even a sannyasi or anyone, they have to gradually become, to achieve pure devotional service, they have to become free from feeling incomplete if someone does not offer respect. Of course, sometimes the spiritual master, when he sees the disciples not bowing down or offering respect, he corrects the disciple because it is a lack of consciousness on the part of the disciple. It's not auspicious for the disciple to neglect offering a respect to the spiritual master. It's not that the spiritual master particularly wants to be worshipped, but it's the duty of the disciple. And if repeatedly a disciple shows some deficiency in offering respect to the spiritual master, then the disciple's spiritual progress can be hampered. Therefore, the spiritual master may point out. We found like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, when someone would bow down, they would return with folded hand their respect, offering them obeisances, because Krishna is in the heart of every living entity. So for a Vaishnava, even a spiritual master offers respect even to his disciple, because in the heart of the disciple, Krishna is present. He's actually offering respect to Krishna in the heart. So this puja, that's the next thing, is that people sometimes, if the president or someone doesn't praise a devotee, doesn't pat him on the back, doesn't say that, oh, you've done very nice, the person that no one appreciates me, no one respects me, why am I working? So of course we offer praise as an encouragement and some chastisement as a correction. But as one advances, one does not become attached to receiving praise or become detached or from being chastised, doesn't become affected in a negative way, but takes it in a very positive way as indications what should be improved. And then pratishtha. Pratishtha means to desire some kind of material or spiritual position for the sake of just having a position, or be feeling incomplete for not having that. Those are the three things that Lord Chaitanya said that even after taking that one should avoid. So Prabhupada said that when a person takes sannyas, 50% of the work is over. I mean, the other 50%, they have to also take, just like the Gundicha Marjana, and cleanse from their heart all the subtle dirts, desire for profit, desire for worship, desire for position. Then one hope gradually to come up to the position of being a Paramahamsa. Whether one's a Grihastha, whether one's a Sannyasi, whatever one may be, our goal is to be a Paramahamsa, not to be a Sannyasi. Sannyasi is one of the avenues for refining or for becoming fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. But even Sannyasi is just a step. One still has to, even if one were able to totally be a perfect sannyasi in terms of avoiding material sense gratification, that does not mean that one has refined oneself from the other subtle desires. Prabhupada said that for a sannyasi, it is a fall down if they again get into political activity, if they again get into diplomacy and such type of activities. So here we're seeing that, as we're discussing all of these, what's a real incarnation of Godhead and what is a false incarnation of Godhead. So we see that in India there's so many incarnations of Godhead. We're not incarnations of Godhead. They don't have even the qualities of a Paramahamsa. What to speak of the qualities of a Mahapurusha. But when Lord Chaitanya appeared, even as a small baby in the womb of, in the cradle of his mother, he had all the symptoms of a Mahapurusha. All of the 34 symptoms. And Nilambar Chakravarti Thakur, he saw these symptoms, and he also confirmed that, according to the astrological calculations, he had predicted that the Lord was actually going to establish pure devotional service, the worship of Krishna in the world. So for this reason, we'll just read this next verse, that Nilambar Chakravarti is giving the name to Lord Chaitanya. Sarva loke koribe iha dharan poshan Bishambara nama ihareto karan. In the future, this child will protect and maintain all the world. For this reason, he is to be called Vishwambhara. Translation with repetition. In the future,
this child
will protect
and maintain
all the world.
For this reason,
he is to be called
Vishwambhara.
Purport. The Chaitanya Bhagavat also confirms that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his birth, has made the whole world peaceful, as in the past Narayana protected this earth in his incarnation as Varaha. Because of his protecting and maintaining this world in the present Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Vishwambhara, which refers to one who feeds the entire world. The movement inaugurated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was present 500 years ago is again being propagated all over the world. And factually we are seeing its practical results. People are being saved, protected, and maintained by this Hare Krishna movement. Thousands of followers, especially Western youths, are taking part in this Hare Krishna movement. And now, and how safe and happy they feel can be understood from the expressions of gratitude in their hundreds and thousands of letters. The name Vishwambhara is also mentioned in the Atharva Veda Sanghita. Vishwambhara Visvena Ma Bharasa Pati Swaha.
Actually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saved, protected, maintained the people through the Hare Krishna movement. When I was just in Ecuador, the first lady of the country, that means the wife of the president, elected democratic president, she chanted Hare Krishna briefly with us, and she mentioned that one thing she noticed, that whenever she saw the Hare Krishna devotees, they were always, their faces were always very happy and effulgent. And this is what, and Prabhupada, he commented this, many Christian priests commented, that why is it, what is it that makes your devotees so effulgent? But this is Prabhupada's special mercy that he brought, Lord Chaitanya's mercy, and thus built a house which can give shelter for the entire world. That house is the house of Viswambhara. Viswa means the universe, and Bhara means one who can hold. So Lord Chaitanya's movement is meant to hold the entire universe, to sustain, protect, and make everyone happy. Right, this actually, the next verse goes with this. So I'll just read this in conclusion. Suni sachi misera mone ananda varilo brahmana brahmani ani mahotsava koilo. After hearing Nilambar Chakravarti's prediction, Sachi Mata and Jagannath Misra observed the name-giving festival in great joy, inviting all the brahmanas and their wives. Purport. It is a Vedic system to observe all kinds of festivals, including birthday festivals, marriage festivals, name-giving festivals, and festivals marking the beginning of education, by especially inviting brahmanas. In every festival, the brahmanas are to be fed first. And when the brahmanas are pleased, they bless the festival by chanting Vedic mantras or the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is customary in India. They invite the brahmanas and Vaishnavas. I was invited on some occasion when a one rich life member, he invite all the Vaishnavas of an area, and hundreds of Vaishnavas would be fed prasad, which was cooked by brahmanas and offered to the deities, and they'd all sit down together at one time. Then while they were serving the prasad out, no one would take. They'd wait till it was served, and while it would be served out, they would sing prayers like Sarira Vidyajal Charanya Tahika. Then they'd sing Hare Krishna, Hare, different prayers. And then, if it was all just ready, then they go Nitai Gaur Premanandi Moha Prasada Bhujara Premanandi Huri Huri Bo. And then, everyone would serve prasada. And throughout, while they're taking prasad, sometimes someone would just suddenly say, Radha Madhav Premanandi, and everyone would just stop and start yelling Hari Bol. And then again, after a while, they take prasad. And then throughout the thing, people would be chanting Hare Krishna, Hari Bol, all the brahmanas. And then after that, it was over, then everyone would say a prayer and get up. Then after that, he'd clean, and then he would serve all the relatives, and after the brahmanas would serve. And this is the custom, even to this day. In fact, Prabhupada said that when he left the planet, he asked that he wanted all of the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan to be fed prasad. So they were all invited in Mayapur as well as in Vrindavan, all of the Vaishnavas, and we fed them in Prabhupada's name, prasad. And they all, in respect of Srila Prabhupada, they came and they accepted prasad, and they were very respectful to Srila Prabhupada. And that was, so Prabhupada once said that we feed so many poor people prasad, but if any Vaishnav comes to our temple, you should see he gets prasad. Any sadhu, any Vaishnav. So we try to follow that in the holy dhams. There's not too many wandering Vaishnavs that come around in Atlanta or other temples. but at least in India, sometimes they come by. So we try to observe that ceremony, that at least see that they get prasad. Not always able to offer them a permanent residence unless they're free of any sadhu tendencies or something. But at least even anyone who wears tilak, we offer them some prasad and take the opportunity to serve the Vaishnava. So
That's part of our Vaishnava culture. The Prabhupada has taught us that we should respect the Vaishnavas, and especially we should serve the pure devotees, and we should spread this movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu everywhere. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Rupanuga Mahashoy is present. You'd like to give us any instruction on this topics? You're talking. It's one interest in that. There's so many bogus incarnations in India. In some of these places, you find that every village has got a local avatar. It becomes such a farce. They have no power, they're just ordinary people, but they're claiming their avatar. So, it's a real... Now this has been imported in the West. You already have 3-4 Bhagavans, I think, and Babas and Guru Maharaj Jis or something, whatever they call the different incarnations here in America. So, previously Krishna, he came on Garuda. Now the incarnations are coming in Rolls Royces.
What do these incarnations do?
Our men go there to the villages. Hide. they take their unmanifest form. One time an avatar came and he actually surrendered. He said, actually, you people are the real devotees. You're the really empowered people. I'm actually nothing. So I surrender unto you. I want to follow your movement. When he did that, then all his followers said, now what do we do? Our avatar is just surrendered. He was a sincere avatar. His son had become a devotee, and so he blasted his father. He should surrender to Lord Chaitanya's movement. Talibon?
There's this one yogi, I was looking in a bookstore, and he hardly wears any clothes, he wears Brahmin underwear, and he sits up in like the Vyasa sign, and he tells his disciples that their guru is no guru at all. So I was thinking, after he passed away, what would the disciples do? He says, if the guru is dead, then the guru is no good. So I was thinking, this, he's going to die also. So what would his disciples do?
He changed, by that time we'll change the tune.
Oh, yeah.
Sometime they, there's a saying in India that if somebody, you know, they scratch their head, it's like you can scratch directly, you don't have to go around. Sometimes to achieve an objective they present one way, but then if you study the whole presentation, then at the end, they're singing a different tune. They're saying that all the guru is one, everything is the same, you can follow anyone, doesn't matter, anyone that wears tilak is the same as anyone else, or anyone that has a kopin. But then, by the time we get to the end of the book, or by the time we get to the end of the story, then he's saying that the guru is one, but they have to follow me, absolutely, you know. So, by people, I guess, a very short memory, they forget what he said the week before. So these type of tactics, the point is that Lord Chaitanya is the actually authorized incarnation. And he said that to spread this Sankirtan movement in the Kali Yuga means that it's not possible unless one is empowered by Lord Krishna. That Srila Prabhupada spread this movement all over the world indicates, proves, without a doubt, that he actually was empowered by Lord Chaitanya, that he is authorized acharya for the entire world, Jagat Guru. So other spiritual masters or spiritual leaders, they should also accept this lead taken by Srila Prabhupada. The standards that he has established, which have proved effective in purifying the entire world, should be the new standard for modern preaching of Lord Chaitanya's movement. You see. Sometimes, without any credit to them, without having done anything, people will, on the basis of some sentiment, on the basis of maybe just some superficial learning, or some other type of more materialistic qualification, they will try to claim some kind of distinction. And this way bewilder people, telling them that you don't have to follow. But actually we should know that we should simply be thoroughly 100% committed and dedicated to following Srila Prabhupada's instructions, his example, his personal guidance, his will. That is our only shelter. Prabhupada said in his books very explicitly that in the absence of the spiritual master, you have to follow his instructions. That is called Vani Seva. And following his physical presence is Vapu Seva. For those spiritual masters who have given no instruction, no books, who have never spoken on the Bhagavatam, who are Mona Babas or something, obviously they're not going to have much of a value for the disciples when they leave. But Srila Prabhupada has left us countless instructions in the form of his books and other personal instructions and letters. Therefore we can take his vani and associate with him and remain always in connection with him by serving his instructions. And this should be our special source of inspiration and strength. Hare Krishna. Can we get my site? Anything? What do you think of that?
This philosophy that I am God, the guru teaches that if a guru is the good of God, or so it says that the guru is equal to God, is the idea that the disciple also has hopes that he can also in the future he can become God. Shukhava says, such a God walks down the street, and he has a toothache. How can he explain it? He has a toothache. So we're going around it that such a nun had a toothache. So how does God walk down the street and get a toothache walking on the street? How's he, if he's assaulted, how's he going to explain being assaulted on the street? How's a God going to protect himself in that way? So that was, I think, perhaps this person was the only person who was really contemporary with Sri Prabhupada at that time. He actually had real and really no effect. He was sincere. He was really good looking.
Vishaka Premanandi Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om.